The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, it's a numbers game where sports betting lives. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. All proudly brought to you by DraftKings. How you doing, man? Good?
I'm doing perfecto. How are you doing?
I am frantically soaking in the French Open draw.
Yes, you are.
Drew Densick and I are doing a podcast here in 2 hours on the French Open at Beating the Book. And I haven't gotten to the women's yet, but I did soak in the men's here. So we'll get to that here momentarily because I have some thoughts here in the first segment. Just seeing how the quarters have broken down. Here's the thing, and I don't know if this is, it's akin to golf, but it's not the same thing. The reason we're doing the podcast today right after the draw is because we're like, should we wait till tomorrow and see if the quarter odds come out? But we have no confidence that any of the books will have the quarter numbers out within 24 hours. Hopefully they will, but we just decided let's go with it right after the draw.
I think you guys are making the right call.
Yeah.
I think you're making the right call. I know it gives you a little bit more to talk about, but you could also...
It's also a Friday.
Right. Yeah,
the tournament starts on Sunday. Yeah. So, we'll get
Drew
to that.
Drew could come up with those numbers anyway. He'll have fair prices on all the quarters.
That's right. Yeah. As fair price, I have all that's coming up on the podcast side, and I'll have my men's draw comments here in mere minutes. Coming up on the show, it is Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen will have French Open thoughts. He'll have NBA thoughts. Congratulations to you, Kelly Bidlin, for hitting the Mavericks last night. And being one leg up in the Western Conference Finals. Mavericks win 108-105. We'll get to that momentarily. And Crack, Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, coming up on the show as well. Oh, college baseball with Matt Grissom as well. We'll do that. Want to get that whole format and pods, and he'll explain everything to us. Okay, let's start with the Mavericks and Timberwolves before we get to the French Open. Mavericks and Timberwolves last night. Let's start with a comment made by the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, before this series. Quote, my matchup's going to be Kyrie, so that's going to be fun. We're going to see what I can do versus him. Yeah, probably shouldn't have said that out loud. First quarter, T-Wolves led by as many as 9, 21-12. Mavs then went on an 11-0 run to take the lead by 2. By the way, every NBA game is a game of runs. This was really a game of runs. 11-0 for the Mavs. They take a 2-point lead, 23-21, but Minnesota led by 6 after the first quarter on their own 12-4 run, 33-27. Kyrie, 13 points on 6 of 9 shooting, keeping the Mavericks in the game. Second quarter, Wolves would lead by as many as 9, but the Mavs finished the quarter with a flourish, and so the T-Wolves led at the half by only 3. Kyrie had 24 on 11 of 14 shooting. Jaden McDaniels, by the way, 19 at that point for the T-Wolves, 7 of 9 from the field. But here was the deal at halftime. Not only should Ant not have said anything because Kyrie had 24, but the Mavs from behind the arc, remember they're down 3 at the half. They were 2 of 13 from behind the arc, 15.4%, while the Wolves were 11 of 25. So if you just do the 3-point scoring, Kelly,
yep.
At halftime it was 33-6 from behind the arc in favor of the T-Wolves, and they were up 3.
Plus all of those unexpected points, I will say, from, I mean, it's also partially the 3-point shooting, but McDaniels and slow-mo, Kyle Anderson.
Well, it was Kyrie going off, and it was that, as they pointed out on Inside the NBA afterwards, this drop-down defense that the T-Wolves do, and the Mavs were, they had 10 dunks, I believe. 10.
You could put it as simple as this. Luka offense better than Gobert defense.
Luka.
You put Gobert in pick and roll with Luka. He's gonna eat you apart, man. He did that all night long.
Sounded like you were speaking in monosyllabic grunts. Luka offense better than Gobert defense.
That's all you gotta know.
That's our whole analysis. Why am I going through this? Third quarter, Dallas went up by a point for their first lead in the first quarter, since the first quarter, 67-66. But the Wolves led by 1 after 3, 83-82. And then the fourth, this is the run. Like I talk about, the runs were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wolves go up 89-84. Then Luka, a personal 7-0 run. It's 91-89 Mavs. By the way, that was part of a 13-0 run that gave the Mavs their biggest lead of the game, 97-89 at that point. You're like, okay, Mavs are going to win this. Nope. Minnesota, 13-1 run. They go up 4, 102-98 on an Ant 3, a Cat 2, a Gobert 2, and a Cat 3, and an Ant 3. Then Luka 3, PJ 3, Mavs up 2. Then Cat on a dunk follow-up ruled basket interference correctly, by the way. I think.
Agreed.
Then Lively traveled with 1:23 left. Then a terrible Conley to Gobert alley-oop attempt that got knocked away. Then Luka.
Wasn't that bad? It was a great play by Luka.
It was such a short pass that was never going to get home. Then Luka two, just a beautiful short range jumper two, and the Mavericks go up four. Kat misses a three. Kyrie misses with 17.5 seconds left. But that Luka shot was the dagger. So Reed puts in a tip in off a Kat missed three. That cuts it to 2.7 seconds left. Kyrie hits both free throws. They're back up four with 1.8 left. And then Josh Green somehow fouls Conley from behind the arc. What are you doing? And Conley, who was a 91.1% free throw shooter this year, makes the first but misses the second. You got to make that second one so you can hopefully get a
Green
board and a rebound. But instead, they're down three.
What are you doing? What if he made that shot? Like, oh my God.
Oh, my God. He purposely misses the third, but nothing happened on the carom. Mavs win 108-105. Doncic ends up with 33. And Kyrie with a cool 20. One again in the first half of that. 24, pardon me, in the first half. Really kept the Mavs in that game in the first half. And there you go. Mavericks, first blood drawn up one game to nothing in this best of seven series. And I guess my question to you is, you called this. It worked out for you in the end.
Yep.
It looked like it wouldn't several times down the stretch, but it did. If you're the Mavericks, if you listen to that Kyrie interview afterwards, with Inside the NBA, he was sort of like, yeah, they do what they do, and we just, and it seemed real easy for him.
Yeah, it was, I think one of those games from a betting standpoint, I think it's the result was kind of always in question, right?
Yeah.
I think the handicap was right. I mean, they brought it up on the game broadcast. I'm surprised they didn't bring it up 17 times more. Anthony Edwards had completely, he was gassed, exhausted, hiding in the corner, catching his breath.
What did you make of that?
I mean, what I make of it is he played seven games against the Denver Nuggets and then had to go out there. I mean, we talk about these guys that are great on both sides of the ball, which is awesome. It's a great ability. But when you have to try to keep up with Kyrie Irving on defense all night long and then be the main guy on offense, it is very taxing. And that is what you saw, I think, in that second half. He couldn't even move. I mean, he was hiding, Gil. It was Mike Conley, take up the ball, I'm going to the corner. I need to catch my breath so I can play defense. I think he'll look better. Look, I think he'll realize, I think they'll scheme differently. If that means taking him off Kyrie and out of some of the defensive action to make, they have to have his offense. As good of a defender as he is, Timberwolves have to have him on offense. So they'll adjust for that. I don't expect that to be as big of an issue. But him and Kat both really weren't all that great offensively last night. And if you don't get that, this starts to look like the 17th ranked offense that we saw during the regular season. So and they had trouble defensively, Gil, right? I mean, the Dallas bigs continue to be impressive. Derek Lively's amazing. What do we have, three centers in this rookie class that are just stellar? Like if Wemby didn't exist, how much would we be talking about Chet, right? If Chet and Wemby didn't exist, how much would we be talking about to what Derek Lively's doing? There's nothing
about that outcome, though. Like, we could just as easily be sitting in here and talking about a Wolves win.
Absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. The result was always in question, right? It was tight.
It was Plinko all game.
So I think the ones where you look ahead to game two, right, it's... Yeah. I'm not rushing. I'm in a very good spot series wise.
Yes.
So like, I'm willing to bet these game to game. Everybody's first instinct was to go and hammer the Timberwolves last night with laying four and a half on the opener. I held back. Like, are you going to get better offense from Ant and Kat? Probably. You're probably not going to get the same level of contribution offensively that you got from Jaden McDaniels and Kyle Anderson though. And the Mavs only made 6 3-pointers. The whole night, they only made 6 threes. You telling me they're making only 6 threes going forward?
Well, that's why I said when you said the part about the T-Wolves not getting off the greatest offensive games from Ant and others. I think the Mavs can just as easily can counter that by saying, yeah, we didn't do that from behind the arc. And by the way, even though McDaniels played well, the rest of the team didn't really do much on offense. Like PJ and all those guys that we counted on the previous series, Gafford, they didn't really have great games, right? Other side. Yeah, PJ and Gafford, right? So it was just... I think both teams can say to themselves, we can do much better.
Yes.
And every outcome here will be much up in question. By the way, you see the Wall Street Journal just put out an article yesterday. See what it was called? How the worst trade ever built an NBA title contender. Thank you, Wall Street Journal. Real quick on the, should I do the French Open?
Yeah, let's go.
Quick?
What do we got?
All right, so
we
I'm
can
just
do it with Zach too.
Just soaking this in. We're gonna have Zach Cohen come up. Zach is next segment, because he's gonna talk NBA and tennis with us as well. So I've just had a chance to soak in the men's draw. I have not on the women's side, but the women's side is more clear that it's an Iga show. But on the men's side, Q1 is the Djokovic quarter. He's got Casper Ruud in there with him, and he's got some other like clay court specialists like Echeverry and Correa. He's also got Taylor Fritz in there, Cerundolo, another clay court specialist. If Joker's on his game, he ought to be able to overcome all, but I don't. Ruud and Fritz have unbelievable clay numbers. So that's tough. Joker's definitely the favorite in there. He's the justified favorite in there. It's a tough, tough go, though, I would say, generally speaking, if we don't know what we're going to get out of him. Q2. Rafa Nadal, 14-time winner, gets Sasha Zverev in the first round. Oh, my God, what a way to get out of this tournament. Because Sasha's going to beat him, because I don't think Rafa's anywhere close to top of his game. And that'll be the end of Nadal at the French Open. Also in Q2, Medvedev's on the other side, but he's not a clay court guy. You have some clay court guys like Navone, Kaboli, Dardari. Kaboli's actually all court. Zverev ought to be the favorite in that. Struff is kind of a good clay numbers. Dimonor's in there, but Zverev ought to be the favorite. Q3 is the hardest one to me at the top. Alcaraz, Rublev, and Tsitsipas. Also throw Shelton in there. Oh, my God. Alcaraz will be the favorite, but Rublev would be the guy, and Tsitsipas would be the guy that could take it over. To me, the betting opportunity will be in Q4 because we don't know what we're getting. If you don't believe that Jannik Sinner is top shape, there could be an opportunity there on the Orkatses and the Dimitrovs and the Yaris or Baez of the world. We'll get into it more with Zach coming up, but Q4 might be where the opportunity is. Zach is next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit vsin.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG, 2 months for free, coming right out of Zach Cohen's salary.
Right out of it. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Speaking of Zachary, Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk not only NBA, but also tennis. I would have loved to have you on the podcast later today, Zach. I know there was a scheduling conflict. I apologize for that. Great to have you, man. How you doing?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing great. Betting on X, by the way, for all that Zach does on Twitter. All right, let's start. Have you had a chance to soak in the draw on the men's or women's side yet?
I took a brief glance at both. I haven't dived into it as much as I will want to, and I will, you know, later today, and I'll get some stuff up on the website. But I have taken an early look, and it's definitely very interesting. That Zverev-Nadal match in round one is a popular match.
It's just, are you all in on Zverev, regardless of the price, or is Nadal, does Nadal have enough muscle memory for you that regardless of all of his ailments and his age, that it gives you pause?
I don't really have any concerns about Zverev winning the match. I'm not sure what the price is going to look like, so I can't say for sure that I'll be on Zverev. But, yeah, you know, I'm already kind of betting against Nadal. I had a whole feature in our tennis primer, French Open tennis primer for VSiN.com, kind of saying to fade him. So if he wins, I'll look like an idiot anyway.
Oh, no, you won't look like an idiot. He's
what's best guess on the price? Zverev minus 300?
I out of respect,
220?
It'll be short. I think it'll be like minus 260. It'll be my guess. I could be way.
Yeah, I would have said like minus 240 ish.
Yeah, but it's sort of like just a respectful thing, almost like
right,
the market
right.
will dim it. But it shouldn't be that way based on actual numbers. Again, my reaction, real quick, is that just at a glance, and I haven't had a chance to soak in the women's quarters, but the way that it works in on the men's side, real quick, is Joker, who got a little longer. We'll show the outrights coming up. Joker got a little longer, and I think that's correct, again, because he's got Casper Ruud in his quarter, and then he has some clay court specialists. He's got Echeverry and Cerundolo. He's also got Taylor Fritz, who has some great clay numbers. So I get it. Like, it's not the easiest quarter But again, if he's Joker, he's Joker. Then it won't matter. But do we have those? Oh, we do. Yep. Okay, so here they are. So Alcaraz is +260. Joker, a little incremental drop to 3-1, I think, based on that quarter. Yannick Sinner, who is going against doctor's orders here in the hip, at 5-1. And then there's Sasha Zverev at 7-1 and Tsitsipas at 9-1. Casper Ruud is 14-1. Everybody else longer. Nadal, just out of respect, at 22-1, I suppose. To me, the opportunity, again, exists in quarter number 4. Those numbers are not out because if you are in the camp that believes that Sinner is not tip-top shape, which I kind of am, then I think you take a long shot possibility there. We'll have to see what the numbers are per quarter, but the Nico Jarrys, the Baezes of the world, the Urkatses of the world, the Dimitrovs, they're all in there. Now, if you think Sinner's going to be great, Sinner's going to be great, and that's the end of that. But
I guess worth pointing out real quick on these odds, because I'm just chuckling looking at this now. I stopped the graphic after old Holger Rune there at 41, but the next drop down is 100-1.
Yeah.
Starts at 100 from there on out.
I'm just going to do this on the fly. If you made me make a play there, well, it's Djokovic. So, I mean, I just don't know what to say. But if you didn't allow me to take, Zach, if I didn't allow you to take Alcaraz, Djokovic, or Sinner, who's your bet?
Well, I should note that I did end up getting in on Sinner. I just kind of thought that the number got to a point where it was really hard for me to turn it down. Just given the data that we have from this year, I've been speaking to these guys at Tennis Viz and Tennis Data Solutions all season long. They've been sending me their performance rating scores, which are kind of like a QBR. And they just have Sinner head and shoulders above the field. And that kind of stayed true during the clay season, you know, the abbreviated clay season he played. So if the hip is feeling somewhat good, like I just think that +500 is a really good price on him. I think that he should be right there with Alcaraz and Novak. And I do think that the fact that he's playing this tournament means he feels somewhat okay. And I do think kind of the further he gets into the tournament, he'll feel a little bit better. But I'm kind of in the Casper Ruud camp as far as long shots go, yeah. Even though it's not that much of a long shot. But yeah, I think it helped him that, you know, he beat Djokovic earlier in the year on clay. I mean, he's going to finally go into that matchup if they do end up playing at this tournament with a little bit of confidence. He's a guy that we've seen kind of get scared against these legends of the sport. You know, there's that clip of him going against Nadal before the finals where people say he lost the match before it even started, just kind of waiting around in the tunnel while Nadal went through his crazy pre-match routine and the room is just shaking in his pants. So I do think that now he's starting to believe that he can beat these guys. And I do think that price is just really long for a back-to-back finalist.
I think I agree with you. I think that's the answer. But as Zach just displayed, so much of this is if you think Sinner is healthy, if you think he's not. In the Q3 with Alcaraz, if you think Carlitos is healthy, if you think he's not, because then if you don't think he's healthy, I could make the case that Tsitsipas at 9-1 is actually worth a flyer, as much as I hate betting it outright on Tsitsipas just as a rule. But I think Casper Ruud's probably the best bet on there at 14-1. We'll see what the quarters have coming up. Basketball, what are your futures pending? Remind us.
So I have the JVT ticket of 65-1 on the Wolves as well, and I have not hedged it. I really don't want to until the finals, but yeah, that was a troubling game one, just seeing them outshoot Dallas from the 3-point line and still lose the game at home. But I do think they'll get game two and it'll end up being, you know, a close series.
Yeah. Okay. So 65-1. Wow. I guess Kelly and I had this discussion in the first segment. You just mentioned the 3-point shooting. To me, that was the key thing, the key difference at halftime. The T-Wolves are beating them by 33 points from behind the arc, but they're only winning the game by 3. Do you leave that game if you're a T-Wolf, if you're making the case for the T-Wolves, if you're making the case for the Mavs? Because I think there's a case to be made for both, right, where it's like, well, we could have done this much way better. Do you feel good about the T-Wolves still?
I don't feel as good as I did before the series. I mean, one thing that was abundantly clear in game one is that this is still Luka Doncic as the best player in the series. I know there was a lot of talk going in about it potentially being Anthony Edwards, but if you have Luka, the best player on the floor, surrounded by the defense that Dallas does play, you know, they're going to have a shot in every game. It's going to be really close. And I do think Kyrie Irving, you know, as well, just the way he played down the stretch in that game is also just two guys that you could really trust late in games. The Timberwolves, before the playoffs, we were worried about how they'd perform in crunch time. They kind of did a good job of squashing that during the first two rounds, but you know those concerns are still there a little bit, especially against a team with two closers like that.
Okay, and just to clarify, the T-Wolves are 5-point favorites in Game 2. The total is 207.5. Curious if you're going to make a play on that. And then tonight, Game 2 in Boston at the TD Garden. Celtics 9-point favorites, 225 is the total. Any play tonight or tomorrow?
So I probably would go to play the under tomorrow night. I just thought that, you know, the way that the game started last night, the first two quarters were crazy high scoring, but the second two, you know, the second half played a lot more like what I was expecting. Those are two of the top defensive teams in the league, two teams that I don't think really want to play with a lot of pace. So I do think they're going to bounce back with an under tomorrow night. And then for tonight, I'm playing the Pacers +9. I just think that this is too many points for a team that has Tyrese Haliburton, one of the best pick and roll ball handlers in basketball. The Celtics have been one of the worst pick and roll defenses in the NBA in the playoffs so far. I think that the Porzingis injury is just very clear at this point in the series. Like, they just need a guy with his, you know, quickness on the perimeter to get out on Miles Turner to protect the rim from Haliburton drives. I thought that they really picked them apart with the Haliburton Turner two-man game, and the Celtics adjusted for that in Game 1 by, you know, throwing Tatum on Turner and then allowing them to play some Haliburton Siakam pick and roll. And that went pretty well for Indiana, too. So I just think that the Pacers, there was really no wasted motions in their offense. They're a really good offensive team. I think they're going to continue scoring, and I think they can get enough stops in the half court to keep it close.
I'm with you. I've already bet the Pacers +9 here in Game 2. The thing that I was mentioning yesterday, Zach, I don't know if you heard, but Tim Legler was on Ryan Russillo's show and said, you know, if I wish I had all the tapes of all the times that I wanted to talk about the Indiana Pacers this year, but it was, you know, not sexy enough for air, apparently, which to me is, you know, just dovetails perfectly into what I was saying about how ESPN should have been ashamed of themselves of the Knicks homerism in the last series. But what you just said is exactly what Legler seized on, which is there is not a wasted dribble. Like, it's just amazing, that offense. I'm with you. Getting 9 again? Hey, this is one of these bets where it's like, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and the Celtics blow them out, tip of the cap. But I'll take the 9. Give them to me.
I think you guys both got to be sprinkling money line a little bit, too.
Oh, right? Okay. A little sprinkle.
Yeah, I did. I put it in my story. I trust them to just kind of keep it close enough that you'll want to have that ticket. The Celtics have lost Game 2 in back-to-back series. And it just could kind of add on what Legler said. Like, it kind of helps having a second floor general out there in Andrew Nembhard, who would be a point guard any other team. They just have two guys that are always running offense at a high level.
Zach, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X. The glue, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together here at VSiN. Great stuff all over the website on multiple sports from Zach. We'll come back. Hypothetical series prices. Not hypothetical. There are series prices for the NBA Finals. That's next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, America's number one nicotine pouch that has helped millions achieve lasting change. Zyn is smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free, and can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. What makes Zyn number one? It's available in a deep roster of varieties, including coffee, cinnamon, and citrus. And you can choose between two strengths, 3 milligram or 6 milligram. Zyn is made with only 6 simple ingredients and is easy to use. Plus, it delivers up to 1 hour of nicotine satisfaction per pouch. And it's discreet, so you can enjoy Zyn indoors or out. Whether you're managing your fantasy lineup on the go, watching the game from the stands, or cheering your favorite team from the couch, you can get the nicotine satisfaction you want with Zyn. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn, Z-Y-N.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Majestic downtown Las Vegas. Coming up on the show, still, Crack, Unscripted with the Crack Man, Bill Krakenberger, Matt Grissom on college baseball as well. We get tweets, Kelly. I don't know if you know that. Beating the book. Mike Stacks, you got your 3 games Christmas Survivor week. I'll be in Vegas in 2 weeks to take you and Kelly out to your favorite sushi place. Oh, apparently, so we have the announcement that we're, I guess Derek and Mike were on this morning?
Yeah, they went off all the money this morning, broke so, down, I believe, both contest details.
So we get the 3-game Christmas carve out. Okay, good. Not 2 games, in other words. Okay, so we don't have to have that discussion anymore.
Yeah.
Of like, do we even play this thing? Okay, good. Let's see, Joey Isaacs. What did you guys take on futures? I just have Rublev 45-1. Again, just a quick glance at the French. I don't have any yet because besides my parlays with Iga on Joe. This is pre-draw. Joker, Carlitos, and Casper Ruud. The Casper Ruud one, I'm quite happy with actually. But again, for me, if you're looking at a bomb, Q4 is the spot for it. The center quarter. If you think center is not going to be 100%, again, doctors told them don't play in this. But I do think that your quarter Q3, sir, with Rublev, you got Tsitsipas and Alcaraz in there. I don't know about that one because Rublev's got to get past that quarterfinal ceiling thing that he has in his head. These are tough. These are pretty evenly broken down quarters. It's not one of these tournaments where we're like, oh my God, can you believe this quarter? And oh my God, what an easy path here. I think they're actually, because the reason for that is there's a lot of clay court specialists. There's like a whole Latin American tour of clay courts during the early part of the calendar year.
I didn't know that until you brought that up the other day. Well, that's interesting.
It's not called that, but there is. So guys like Jari and Baez and Navone and Dardari, these guys are clay court specialists. So like Tabilo beat Djokovic, right? So they all have a puncher's chance. Maybe not to win it all, but to get far. And so that's a thing. And by the way, we did get a question also about why don't they just do it by ranking every time? Why doesn't one play 32, two play 31, like that kind of thing, or at least broken down that way? Because if you did that in tennis, the rankings are slow to move. So you would basically have so many similar matchups from slam to slam that it would be boring. So every tournament doesn't live. Wimbledon is the most loyal to the rankings.
How does that work? Is it like golf? Do they update those every week?
You are always defending points from year to year. So in other words, if you did well in a tournament, exactly 365 days ago or 52 weeks ago, I should say, if you do worse this year, you're losing points in rankings.
Okay.
Sense?
Okay.
By the way, Cavaliers firing coach JB Bickerstaff, we should point out as well.
Yes.
His dad, assistant coach, 1978 Washington Bullets, I believe. Was he the assistant coach on the? I know he was assistant coach on the 75 Bullets, Bernie Bickerstaff, but I think the 78 Bullets that won the championship too. Brian M. Oh no, we don't want to read that one. Hump Day Hockey. Did you touch on the new Pirates Hall of Famer Barry Bonds just stirring the pot? Yeah, don't get me started on that. Finally, a Hall of Fame gets it right with Barry Lamar Bonds. Okay, about those NBA prices for potential finals, for hypothetical finals matchups.
I didn't see this Barry Bonds story.
Barry Bonds in the Pirates
That's
Hall of
hilarious.
Fame?
That's hilarious. I did not see that. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if he's in the Giants Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
maybe he is. He is in the Giants Hall of Fame because I think I attended that. I flew to San Francisco for that. I even forgot.
Well, then, like, what took the Pirates so long, man?
Well, because he played earlier in his career. He was phenomenal with the Pirates.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was a massive free agent signing for the Giants as he went back home. But, yeah.
I'm glad they had 30 years to think about
it. It's almost like the team's way of flipping off the MLB Hall of Fame.
Right, yeah. I love it.
It's like, I don't care what you guys think, but he's awesome. All right, let's get to this. So we have, of course, the potential final matchups, and these are prices you can bet right now, correct? These are up at DraftKings. So if you want to take a flyer on these potential, there's obviously four potential matchups. Have at it. Celtics versus the Timberwolves. Celtics are -235, T-Wolves are +195. Now, part of this factor is obviously going to be where they are currently in the series, right? So the T-Wolves being down 1-0 affects this.
So what's funny is, Gil, is not really. They didn't really move at all.
From before yesterday's game?
Yeah. Because I went and checked, thought that same thing, like, oh, maybe they would. But, I mean, in theory, they are just look-ahead lines, so it doesn't really matter what's going on in the series as long as you get out of it, right?
Well, yeah, but you have to have a equal chance from the day before to get out of it for them not to move. That seems a little weird. Celtics -235, Timberwolves +195 in that potential matchup. If it's the Celtics and the Mavericks, Celtics -280, slightly higher. The Mavericks +230, slightly longer than the T-Wolves would be. Keep in mind, again, the Mavericks up 1-0 in that series, having taken home court advantage. Now, if it is the Pacers matchups. The T-Wolves would be minus 370. This would be the biggest, according to these numbers, this would be the biggest mismatch on the board. T-Wolves would be minus 370, Pacers plus 295. And if it's the Mavs and the Pacers, the Mavericks would be minus $3. The Pacers would be plus 245. So both of the Pacers series would obviously, they would be the bigger dogs, regardless of matchup, than would either the T-Wolves, T-Wolves Mavericks versus the Celtics. The Celtics would not be quite as big of a favorite on their side as the T-Wolves and Mavericks would be versus the Pacers, if that makes sense. So, man, is there a price there that you like? Obviously, you would like the Mavericks prices, right?
I think there's. I just looking at these, the Timberwolves Pacers. Just please don't let that be the NBA Finals. Like, not that it's bad. It's just.
Can you imagine network executives? Oh, like, Minnesota and Indiana, baby, let's go.
I wasn't even going to go from that perspective, sorry, but you're Minnesota. Right. Like that, yeah, they would. Oh, yeah, they'd be crying if they got that matchup. But just so different. Just so like two teams that are so different stylistically that like. I think I'd be forced to take a piece of the Pacers because I think they'd actually be able to just outshoot Minnesota in a game or two and at least keep it close at a price like that. I think in every other one of these, though, that we talk, I mean, I think me and you have basically been saying it for a couple months now, I'd be looking Western Conference against the Celtics, and
yep.
I wouldn't be laying $3 with the Mavericks against the Pacers either. Like that, there is definitely some lack. I'm not even the biggest Pacers guy, but there's some lack of respect in these numbers.
Do you subscribe to this, though? Because this is, with basketball for me, this I'm going to let the hate wash over me after I say this, that there is a degree of, well, there's a degree of randomness in every sport, as we discussed, but it seems to me like in these particular matchups, like, no outcome of any game would surprise me in either of these conference finals matchups, right? If the T-Wolves took down the Mavericks in game two, it wouldn't surprise me. If Luka and Kyrie did their thing throughout the rest of the playoffs, it wouldn't surprise me. Would the Pacers, I have the Pacers in seven against the Celtics, so it wouldn't like flabbergast me if the Pacers somehow put together an 8-game stretch of amazing offense that just overcame
right.
everything.
And they could outshoot guys, yeah, outshoot teams.
So much of this is, and knowing that then, if you were just landing on this, like part of this to me is, okay, I'm betting tennis, right? I'll bet these things that you think you have more of a handle on, and it's okay. Like for me on some of these, like if I'm watching the Mavs and the Timberwolves last night, I'm like, I have no idea how this is going to turn.
Yeah.
None. And so as I watch these, as I look at these numbers, the Mavericks are the one that leaps out to me because after what happened last night, if you believe that Luka and Kyrie, because remember when Bespris was on, he was like, well, the T-Wolves should think to themselves that what they had to face against the Nuggets was so much more complex and so much more to worry about than just Luka and Kyrie. But the nature of basketball, right, the counter to that is there's five guys on the court, and if two of them are Hall of Famers, what matters other than that?
It's just different. It's not that I disagree with what Dan said on Friday, but it's just Jokic is a special player. So is Luka Doncic, right? It might not be the same level, but he's a special offensive player that's a completely different matchup for them. So, I mean, when you boil what all four of these teams have going for them down, it's, okay, the Mavericks got stars, right? And they got one guy who's been there before, too, I think was very evident with Kyrie last night, right? First half, here's someone who's been here before and is going to act, played like it, acted like it. They got that going for them. Okay, Timberwolves have one of the best defenses we've seen in a while. Can their offense keep up, though, right? That's always a question. Celtics, it's shooting and defense, and then the Pacers got the shooting.
Just want to say it's okay to say some sports easier to wrap your hands around than others. College baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet. That's a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5 to get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN, and you are on the way to all of that. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Before we talk college baseball with Matt Grissom, Kelly and I are having this riveting discussion off air that I think we should bring on air. You brought back, because I mentioned that as these series progress, that those hypothetical, I get it that the prices are not hypothetical because you'd actually bet them, but the matchups being hypothetical because we don't know what they are yet in the NBA. I was saying as these series progresses, those numbers should change. And you're like, and you still don't buy that.
I don't think they should change that much because you're
talking. Well, not after one game, they shouldn't change that much.
I don't even think it's like if the Timberwolves, your example, right? If they go down 0-2.
Yes.
It's just very, they should change a lot in the overall to win the NBA finals, right? Because you still have to win 8 games in total out of what? That would be 12 possible remaining, right?
Right.
But this is a brand new series then.
Yeah, but they're down 0-2, so to make that series happen, is that much more improbable?
Yeah, but we're not talking about to make the NBA Finals now. We're talking about once you're already there to win the NBA Finals.
Right, but they're down 2-0, so the T-Wolves shouldn't stay at plus 195 to be in a matchup with the Celtics, because for you to put your money on that matchup, right?
Yeah, but if they don't make it, it just gets canceled.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Right.
Okay.
Like, they should get longer in the overall futures market, right?
Well, for sure.
When they lose games.
Right.
But the only thing that would change here is, I think, if the book's overall power ratings of the team change along the way, which absolutely could occur.
Wait, but so you get refunded if this doesn't work out? So you're bringing in a point that I didn't think.
Oh, I would assume so. Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Let's not assume that.
Yeah, they have to be canceled. They have to be canceled bets if someone doesn't get
it. I don't know if they are. I don't know. We'll have to check on that. But you're saying it did change somewhat after game one?
Slightly. I believe slightly, yes.
Right, because if they're down 3, well, I don't know. It's an interesting question, though, because now I'm getting discombobulated thinking about it.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have stayed off air. Anyway, maybe we'll do that off air next time. Let's talk some college baseball, because this is always fascinating. We have made good money over the years on this. Matt Grissom has a website. He was kind enough to be here on the table with us last week. It's collegebaseballinsiders.com. He joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Grissom on X, G-R-I-S-S-O-M. And this is great to have you on the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. This is why I love VSiN, because I've had blinders on for college baseball. I couldn't even tell you what other sports are going on. So glad I could be here. Hear a little French Open from you, Gil, and then NBA from Kelly. It's great. I don't even have to lift a finger on those sports. I just follow you guys.
Well, that's what you're here for college baseball. We don't want to have to lift a finger. And if you could, Matt, before we even get into thoughts on these teams, can you explain to everybody the format from this point forward, and specifically what happens with regionals?
As of right now, we are in conference tournaments, and then we'll have the selection show next week. That's going to give you your 16 regional places where the top four seeds four seeds will play each other in a double elimination. So it'll be 1-4, 2-3, and then on and so forth till everyone has been doubly eliminated and you crown a champion. Then they'll play in a super regional, which will just be a typical weekend best of three series. And those hosts will be the top 8 national seeds. Unless one of them loses, then it'll go to the higher seeded team. So it's a little wonky, but it's the most entertaining form of sports. I mean, you'll see ESPN will have the squeeze play going, which is basically like the NFL red zone channel for college baseball. It'll be like home run here, and then it'll flip over and show a gem of a catch. It's the best thing in sports, in my opinion.
All right, now when I had Brad Poors, my buddy, on in previous years, and we talked about regionals, though, these are, you know, we use the word politics to describe some of the decision making and how teams end up where they end up, because it's not completely democratic, right, in that respect.
Yes, and very much so. It's very location based. These teams, you know, a lot of college baseball programs don't have a lot of money to travel, so you may get seated in a tougher regional just based on where your location is. So for instance, I think Campbell a couple of years ago, they got seated with a really good Wake Forest team. Granted, they probably shouldn't have been in that regional, but because of being on the East Coast, that's where they ended up. And Little Rock is probably going to end up in the Fayetteville regional. And that's brutal for them because it looks like Arkansas is probably going to be a top five seed when UALR is not necessarily one of the worst four seeds. They were winners of the OVC. But just due to logistics and traveling for these teams, that's where they're going to end up.
All right. By the way, Democratic small D. I should point that out, Kelly, in this day and age. For God's sakes.
I got a blackjack story for you about that later.
For God's sakes. Small D.
Everything is political nowadays, right?
That's right. That's not what I meant. Okay. So you're betting on a daily basis. What is the go-to book for you, Matt? Because this is the biggest question with College World Series is, all right, what books are even posting these games day-to-day right now?
So all of our odds on our website, collegebaseballinsiders.com, those are pulled from DraftKings. They've been the most consistent as far as posting all season long, every day. Here in Arkansas, I've got Bet Saracen and Oaklawn. Oaklawn copies lines straight from Bet Rivers. So if I ever make a reference to Bet Rivers, that's where I'm betting it, which, you know, they're Bet Rivers, hats off to them. They're the ones that have hung these odds to make the College World Series. So just to get to Omaha, and this is an option where you can attack it and not have to rely on, you know, the 25-1 ticket when they may not win it all because of their pitching staff, which unfortunately they've showed the last week. But just to get there, and we saw a lot of teams get there that I think would have surprised people, like TCU, Oral Roberts last year. So I feel like we're doing a really good job of monitoring teams that are on an upward trend, and we'll get into that here in a minute.
Okay, so let's do that. So let's start with, are there any games today that you've bet? And let's then go to that before we get to the outrights, teams to make the College World Series bets. Let's do all three levels of this.
So SEC tournament is going on right now. They start, I feel like, at 5 a.m. This is absolutely brutal. But Arkansas is playing Kentucky. It's the number two versus number three seed in the tournament. Kentucky was the outright winner shared with Tennessee, but because they're in the East, Tennessee got the one seed, Arkansas got the two seed because they're in the West. So Kentucky gets slotted at the three. I'm on Arkansas. Hagan Smith is going today. They threw off to keep his rest. And that's something that I try to really explain to people. These top eight teams, they really don't care to win this conference tournament. This is all about saving your arm. We were not going to throw Hagan Smith off 6-day rest when yesterday's game did not matter. We started our normal midweek guy in Bid Bobby. We lost 6-5 to South Carolina. Hagan Smith today on normal rotation, I felt like, you know, minus 175, that's one of the lower prices he's been all season long. He's our stud ace being compared to Paul Skeens. Outside of that, I really like Oklahoma State. This is a team I was going to get into with the futures right now. This team is trending up. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won their first two games in the Big 12 tournament. They're going to be minus 185. I'm not sure who their pitchers are. The teams have been awful about announcing at the last minute. But this Oklahoma State team, they're 6-1 right now to make the College World Series on Bet Rivers. They're 7th ranked in our Insiders Power Ratings. 8-2 in the last 10, number one pitching staff in the country over the last 10 games, and they're number 10 in the last 10 in hitting. It's a very well-balanced team, trending upwards. They've got the pitching staff to compete with anybody, and I like them to make some noise in the postseason.
Okay, so Arkansas today, Oklahoma State to make the College World Series. Anything else?
And Oklahoma State tonight.
Minus
175. And then this Southern California Oregon game is kind of interesting. Depending on who goes, that's a 5:30 Eastern game. I think Southern California, this was a team that they were displaced all season long. They're rebuilding their baseball stadium. They had to drive 45 minutes to play their home games. This is a team with a very deep pitching staff that finally seems to be healthy. Oregon minus 180, Southern Cal plus 140 may be a play for me. And then I like LSU to take care of business tonight against South Carolina. That's another team that's trending forward right now at the right time.
Okay. Matt, we'll add to the outright, so we'll have more outright thoughts next week. Yes?
Perfect. Absolutely.
Matt Grissom, everybody. CollegeBaseballInsiders.com. Grissom on X. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, thanks.
Crackman is next, Unscripted. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.